Many people associate Ethereum with Bitcoin, and some people use the words Ethereum, Bitcoin, and blockchain interchangeably. By the end of this video, we will understand the key differences between Ethereum and Bitcoin and their relationship with blockchain technology. So what is Ethereum? Vitalik Buterin is a Russian-Canadian programmer and cryptocurrency researcher who came up with the idea for Ethereum in 2013, which finally went live in 2015. The most plain and simple explanation of Ethereum can be broken down into two words: software platform. Now, what makes Ethereum different from other software platforms is that it is a blockchain-based software platform. So before breaking down what Ethereum is, we must first understand its underlying technological foundation. What is blockchain? The most plain and simple explanation of blockchain is that it's a record of data stored on a network of computers. And there are three pillars of blockchain that make it unique: decentralization, transparency, and immutability. So let's break down these three pillars, starting with pillar one, decentralization. The word decentralization with regard to blockchain is twofold. One, it means that the data is recorded and stored on multiple devices in multiple locations around the world, as opposed to one central place. And two, decentralization also means that no one person, company, government, authority, or entity controls the data and record storage process. So, instead of traditional centralized entities like the IRS, JP Morgan, or MIT recording, storing, managing, and controlling their data by following their own protocols, deciding which servers to use and where the servers are located, and using their own proprietary software and security systems to protect their data, blockchain allows for decentralized record keeping, where data is recorded, stored, and managed on a network of computers with open source software around the world. Any changes to the blockchain protocol go through a consensus process that no one person or entity has control over. So that is the essence of the decentralization pillar. Cool. Pillar two, transparency. The word transparency with regard to blockchain relates to the way in which transactions are recorded on a ledger that is available for everyone to see and that is saved on a network of computers around the world, making the data impossible to change or alter. So the best way to see the value of transparency and data recording, storage, and management is by comparing these two scenarios. One, currently, common citizens of the United States are not privy to where and how every tax dollar is spent by the United States government. We just have to take their word for it. And even if the government had to show us their records, it would be very easy for them to create, forge, or manipulate any data they chose to share with us, since they control their own data. You can see how this scenario is not exactly transparent or trustworthy. So let's imagine another scenario. If everyone in the United States had the ability to see a live running ledger of where every single tax dollar was spent by the United States government at any moment in time. Basically, all US citizens could see a full disclosure of how the government is managing our money. And in this scenario, there is more trust and transparency, the second pillar of blockchain technology. Nice. Pillar three, immutability. Immutability simply means that the data recorded and stored on the blockchain cannot be changed, forged, or altered. And this is achieved through cryptography and blockchain hashing processes. If you would like to watch a more in-depth video explaining what blockchain is and why it was developed, please check out my video guide by clicking in the link above. So, to summarize the three pillars of blockchain technology, blockchain's recording and storage protocols make it such that once new data is verified, it is unmodifiable, it's distributed across a vast network of computers around the world, so it's hard to destroy, and no one person or entity controls the data or network, creating a transparent environment. Amazing. Now that we are familiar with some of blockchain's important features, let's talk about the role blockchain plays in Bitcoin and Ethereum. Hello, I'm Crypto Casey, and in this video, we will explore what Ethereum is, what Ether is, how transaction fees work, and what the future holds for this exciting new speculative technology. Let's hit it. Please be sure to check out our sponsors, iTrust Capital, Masterworks, and Tangent Wallet. Trade cryptocurrencies tax-free within your own individual retirement account, or IRA, with iTrust Capital. Diversify your investment portfolio into the unique, time-tested, and uncorrelated asset class of fine art with Masterworks. And invest in your very own cold storage hardware wallet like Tangent Wallet. It's the size of a credit card, multi-currency, multi-chain, and it's by far the easiest crypto wallet to set up and use on the market right now. Note that since the Ledger fiasco, Tangent has been swamped, so orders have been backed up for a few weeks. So pre-order one to get your spot in line for the next batch of wallets. Scroll down and use links below to access the correct and official site, as well as redeem any special offers they have for us. Sweet. Bitcoin and Ethereum are both use cases of blockchain technology with different purposes. Bitcoin is simply a digital currency that people can use as a form of payment to send to and from each other or hold as a store of value, while Ethereum is basically a programmable blockchain that people can build software on to create valuable products and services or just for fun. Imagine the Ethereum network similar to the Apple App Store, a platform where people can build and deploy apps. And due to the decentralized properties of blockchain technology, the software people can build on Ethereum are called decentralized applications, or dApps for short. And the nature and potential of these decentralized applications, or dApps, has inspired the idea and desire for a crusade towards decentralized finance, or DeFi for short. The DeFi movement aims to transform the current financial system into a more transparent and trustworthy system, like we discussed about the scenario in the transparency blockchain pillar segment. So how is Ethereum's blockchain-based software application able to operate if it's not owned or controlled by a central entity or authority? This leads us to the next section. What is Ether? Many people commonly use the word Ether and Ethereum interchangeably, when they actually represent two different things. Ether is the Ethereum blockchain's native cryptocurrency. It operates similarly to Bitcoin in that it's a digital currency that can be transferred to people all around the world, used as a form of payment, or act as a store of value. However, Ether was created for an entirely different purpose. So why does Ether exist? In previous videos, we explore the similarities between Bitcoin and gold. So if Bitcoin is digital gold, Ether could be described as digital oil. Ether was designed with the intention of fueling the Ethereum network. Thinking back to the decentralized pillar of blockchain technology, we discussed how open source software is distributed across a vast network of computers around the world. So to incentivize people to host and maintain the data on the blockchain, Ether was created as a form of payment to fuel the Ethereum network. So anyone who wants to build a software application on the Ethereum network has to pay for the computing power and space required using Ether. And the amount of Ether required for network fees is determined by a built-in pricing system known as gas. Other key differences between Bitcoin and Ether is that Bitcoin has a fixed supply and halving events, while Ether works differently and is actually deflationary. See, Bitcoin's fixed price and halving events keep its rate of inflation low and predictable over time until it eventually reaches zero. And if you want to learn more about how Bitcoin halvings work, check out this video guide for beginners by clicking on the link above. Since its inception back in 2015, Ethereum has gone through a series of changes and upgrades. And at the time of this video, the amount of new ETH entering into circulation slows over time. So while Bitcoin is slightly inflationary, as more Bitcoin will continue to enter into circulation until the last Bitcoin is mined, Ether is actually deflationary because less Ether will enter into circulation over time. Because the more the network is used, the more Ether that is burned or taken out of circulation. And if we check out this free informative website at ultrasound.money, we can see how much ETH has been issued versus burned over time. So at the time of this video, over the past year, the supply growth of ETH is negative. And when we consider how supply and demand of an asset affects its price, if the supply of ETH continues to go down, while demand for ETH continues to go up, with more people adopting crypto and big traditional financial institutions piling in, the price of ETH is likely going to increase substantially over time. Bullish. Next, let's talk about how Ethereum network fees are calculated. What is gas? Gas considers the bandwidth and space requirements, as well as the computational difficulty of each transaction to calculate the amount of fees it will take to complete. The term gas was created to differentiate the cost of performing transactions on Ethereum from the actual value of the Ether cryptocurrency. So when executing transactions on Ethereum, we will see gas prices denoted in GWEI, which stands for GigaWay. GigaWay, which is also referred to as Nano Ether or just Nano, simply represents a fraction of Ether to the 9th power. So we can think of GigaWays to Ether as pennies to the US dollar. Similar to how the US dollar has pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters that represent fractions of one US dollar, Ether has multiple denominations of fractional values, the smallest denomination being way. Here's a chart showing all the different denominations of Ether. So if we look at 1 GWEI of Ether, it's depicted as a decimal point followed by 8 zeros and a 1 in the 9th place. So you can see how it would be difficult to determine how much transaction fees will cost with all of the decimal places. So instead of a gas price for the transaction being, let's say, 0.000003, you can simply say 3 gigaway. And since the most common unit of Ether reflected in gas prices is gigaway, that's what denomination of Ether is used to represent gas prices. So when initiating a transaction on the Ethereum network, you will see what's called a gas limit. In this field, we can choose to increase or decrease the amount of Ether we are willing to spend to complete the transaction. The more gas, the faster the transaction will be processed. And if there is not enough Ether in our wallet or account to complete the transaction we desire, we will receive an insufficient funds for gas notification or similar. This is why it's so important as crypto investors to be aware of transaction fees and how they work, so we are always prepared when transacting and carrying out our investment and trading strategies. Cool, moving right along. Proof of stake. What is proof of stake? Currently, network processes on Ethereum are completed by validators using a proof of stake protocol, which is a consensus mechanism. And a consensus mechanism is simply a way that all computers within a network can come to an agreement on things, like the validity of a transaction. We can see how consensus mechanisms are a key aspect of blockchain technology's foundation. Because if multiple computers all around the world are maintaining a global network, then a consensus mechanism that keeps them all in agreement is extremely crucial. Computers that participate in the proof-of-stake consensus are known as validators. And proof-of-stake requires validators to stake cryptocurrency on the network, basically as a form of collateral. Staking with regard to cryptocurrency simply means holding cryptocurrency in a wallet or smart contract for an extended period of time in exchange for interest, rewards, or similar. So the proof of stake algorithm that selects which validators will verify the next block can consider variables like the amount of cryptocurrency the validator has staked on the network, the amount of time the cryptocurrency has been staked on the network, and it can randomly select validators to ensure decentralization of the validation process. So in most cases, the more cryptocurrency a particular validator has staked, and the longer the cryptocurrency has been staked, the more likely that validator will be selected by the algorithm to validate blocks. And if the block the validator verifies is approved by the rest of the network, and ultimately added to the blockchain, then the validator earns a reward for verifying the block. In proof of stake, people describe a newly verified block being added to the blockchain as having been forged by the validator, as opposed to mined by the miner, like in the case of Bitcoin. However, if the block proposed to the network has some inconsistencies or fraudulent transactions, the validator is penalized by losing some of their staked cryptocurrency. So we can start to see how proof of stake's virtual verification process is much more energy efficient than proof of work, where computers use a lot of electricity to compete with each other to be the first to verify a block of data. And it's important to note that each blockchain project that uses proof of stake protocols has their own unique algorithm with different rules and methods that dictate their particular network's functionality. It's interesting to note that Ethereum used to use a proof of work protocol like Bitcoin to secure and maintain its network. And unfortunately, since the switch to proof of stake, SEC Chair Gary Gensler says proof-of-stake assets could be securities. And as we've been discussing on the channel, it's likely that Gensler is withholding clarity in crypto to allow for his Wall Street corporate cronies to get into a position to be the first to market with their ETFs and other financial products before finally giving green light. We shall see, though. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Cool. Now that we have a basic concept of what Ethereum is and the roles Ether and gas play in the network, let's get into more detail about how the Ethereum software platform works. How the Ethereum network works. Let's break down the Ethereum network into three simple layers so that we can understand how it works in a nutshell conceptually. Imagine the base layer of Ethereum consists of a vast network of computers called nodes. These nodes are connected to the internet with software installed on them that runs the Ethereum blockchain. And this base layer of nodes is where transaction data is processed, validated, broadcasted, and stored. And as these nodes use the proof of stake protocol required to process transaction data, they are rewarded with Ether dictated by the gas prices we discussed earlier. These rewards incentivize nodes to maintain the Ethereum network by processing transaction data. Transaction data can contain value in the form of Ether and information in the form of code. And these codes can transmit data and trigger actions in the next layer of the Ethereum network. Now imagine another layer on top of the base hardware layer that is a software layer. This software layer supports a programming language library that consists of languages like Solidity, Viper, Bamboo, and more. Using these computer languages, developers can write what are called smart contracts. The term smart contract was actually coined back in 1998 by an American computer scientist named Nick Szabo, who invented the digital currency called Bitgold 10 years before Bitcoin was created. And smart contracts are just lines of code that dictate the terms of a contract and control the execution of the contract. And with the nature of Ethereum's hardware layer and its blockchain-based software, this creates the perfect trustworthy digital environment for building and executing smart contracts. Smart contracts have the unique ability to authorize transactions and carry out terms of contracts within a trusted environment, which eliminates the need for a central authority like a government, bank, or legal system. So smart contracts make transactions trackable, transparent, and permanent. Amazing. So we have the hardware layer and the software layer of Ethereum, which combined basically creates a global decentralized supercomputer known as the Ethereum Virtual Machine, or EVM. In computing, virtual machines, or VMs, are simulations of computer networks that can be used for many different cases. In the case of the Ethereum Virtual Machine, or EVM, a very basic and general idea of its role in the ecosystem is to improve flexibility of the software and ensure separation of each software host and each software application. And software applications bring us to the final layer of Ethereum, the application layer. The application layer is where developers can build and launch third-party decentralized applications, or dApps for short. The applications are decentralized because they operate on Ethereum's decentralized blockchain-based platform. Popular examples of dApps that have been created are Uniswap, which is a decentralized crypto exchange, and OpenSea, an NFT marketplace. And at the time of this video, a total of over 2,800 dApps are running on the Ethereum network that cover a wide range of categories, including gaming, exchanges, lending, yield, identity, property, and more. Nice. Now, another popular element of the Ethereum ecosystem and dApps brings us to the next section. What are ERC-20 tokens? You've probably heard the term ERC-20 before. And before we talk about ERC-20, let's talk about what ERC means. ERC is simply an acronym that stands for Ethereum Request for Comments. And it's similar to BIP, which stands for Bitcoin Improvement Proposal. So since Ethereum and Bitcoin are blockchain-based technologies, there is no one person or entity that is in charge of deciding what new features to add, changes to make, or fixes to implement to the protocols. So ERC is a process that was created as a way for people to contribute information about Ethereum and introduce new features to the Ethereum network. ERCs, or Ethereum Requests for Comments, are basically how developers can propose improvements to the network. So the number 20 of ERC-20 represents the unique ID number of that particular proposal. So ERC-20 is a token standard, which is simply a list of rules that any tokens issued on the Ethereum blockchain must follow. So what are tokens? In the context of Ethereum, tokens are types of cryptocurrencies with different functions that represent an asset or are intended for a specific use that operate on the Ethereum blockchain. So the Ethereum ecosystem allows for the creation, deployment, and circulation of virtual currencies or tokens. And ERC-20 proposed the implementation of rules and regulations developers must follow when creating tokens to issue on the Ethereum network. These rules dictate how tokens can be transferred, transaction approval methods, user access to tokens, and the total supply or number of tokens available. So ERC-20 basically ensures compatibility of new tokens issued on the Ethereum network. Tokens that currently run on the Ethereum blockchain are referred to as ERC-20 tokens. Currently, over 350,000 different tokens have been issued on the Ethereum network. Some of the more popular ERC-20 tokens include Tether, Chainlink, Matic, and Uniswap. And each token has a different function or utility. For example, Tether is a token that is tethered to the US dollar and that it maintains the same value as the US dollar. This makes the token price stable, staying at $1 per tether, which is why tokens with this function are called stablecoins. And another example of another token with different utility is BAT. BAT stands for Basic Attention Token, and it was created to be used as the currency for a web browsing dApp called Brave. That was designed as a form of payment to be traded between users, advertisers, and publishers in exchange for users' attention to advertisements and content. Amazing! So it's important to understand as crypto investors that Ethereum is still new speculative technology that is still in the development phase with a constantly evolving roadmap. Changes on the horizon are aimed at making transactions cheaper, making the network more secure, creating a better user experience, and readying the network for future generations. So if you haven't dipped your toes into crypto and are interested in diversifying your investment portfolio into ETH, you can use the links in the description area below to access the correct and official sites of my recommended reputable crypto exchanges like Coinbase, Kraken, and more. And make sure when we are investing in crypto, we are transferring them off of exchanges to hold in our own cold storage hardware wallets like Tangent Wallet. Tangent Wallet is extremely simple and easy to set up, literally just taking a few minutes. And friends and family I've onboarded into crypto love it. There is a wait for the next batch of wallets, so make sure to get your spot online earlier rather than later. It looks like a credit card, uses the highest standard of security among crypto wallets, known as EAL6+, which is a level of protection used by NASA and in passports. The source code for Tangent's mobile app is all open and available for review on GitHub, which is important for full transparency to ensure there are no backdoors built in, and that funds can be accessed if the company shut down for any reason. Instead of a seed phrase as the only way to back up our crypto wallets, backup copies of the wallet are created and used on other Tangent cards that we encrypt with our own unique access code we create for each card. Also note the pricing for this cryptocurrency hardware device is much cheaper and more affordable than other ones, starting at just over $40 with free shipping using our promo code. This is a plus for any beginners just getting started or anyone who is looking to onboard friends and family into crypto with a simple, easy-to-use, secure, self-custody hardware wallet. So scroll down and use the link below to access Tangent's correct and official site, as well as redeem any special offers they have for us. Awesome. If you would like to finally have that eureka moment about how crypto wallets, private keys, and seed phrases work, check out this video. If you would finally like to have that eureka moment about how Bitcoin works and why it can help us maintain complete control over some of our wealth, check out this video. And to get your very own Tangent wallet, click on the link on the screen. Like and subscribe for more. Be safe out there.